There's a tree I feel so red, so real. All the world in yawning on the world that's mine. Gathering.
He drives. There's 35 seconds to go. This is the one. It's coming back for Johnny Wilkinson. He drops for World Cup glory.
Yes!
It's over. He's done it. Johnny Wilkinson is England's hero yet again. And there's no time for Australia to come back.
Searching for the best in me, I will find what I can be.
The shock. Francois Lowe, utterly crestfallen.
Welcome to Square Up Scrum Down, the new podcast for URN Radio. With me today, I've got Harry and Jack, and we're going to kick today's show off with the international news, and in particular focus on the upcoming Six Nations. So, starting with the first round on the 6th of February, the teams will once again battle it out for the coveted trophy and even the Grand Slam. And we're going to look at the state of the nations. So, Harry, who do you think is the favourites before any players have even set foot on the pitch?
Well, I've got to think that being Scottish, I've always got to support Scotland. However, we know they always fight for the wooden spoon at the end of the day, though they are tipped as favourites, apparently, against England, which will be an interesting one, especially as it's at home. However, if I had to really sort of exclude my origins, I'd have to say France have looked very good.
Okay, where do you see England coming then in the end?
With the team they've put out, I see them coming third, possibly runners up. I don't see anyone getting the Grand Slam this year. There's an argument saying Ireland won't win it for the third year running. I don't think that's true. They could do. But it is all to play for this year, especially the year after the World Cup, where teams are very much built on.
I definitely agree. Jack, what are your thoughts on England and their prospects?
I think it's interesting with their choice of lineup, dropping players like Cipriani yet again. But I think they'll do well. I think especially after the World Cup and their disastrous exit, they'll be baying for blood and they'll have a point to prove, especially to some of the other bigger nations in the southern hemisphere. So it wouldn't surprise me if they come out tooth and claw fighting for that first place and a Grand Slam, but I don't think they'll get it.
No, definitely I have to agree with you there. And the elephant in the room, really, Dylan Hartley.
Wrong choice. Is he suitable? Poor captain choice. I agree. I can see why he's had to do it. I think there is no one else in the forwards, I think, who could do the job. And that's, I think, the problem that is the media hasn't quite picked up on. Rob Shaw was chosen partly because he was one of the most long-standing members of the pack. And now he's resigned and been let go. I think Dylan Hartley, I hope it actually improves him. I think we don't know. Yeah, he might flourish under the captaincy. He might actually come to realise actually he can't get away with what he gets away with, and actually might improve his game. So we'll have to see. It is a big test for him. The pack is obviously relatively unchanged. There are a few new faces in the side.
Do you see him as the best of a bad bunch?
Yes, I think that's a good analogy to give. I think he is probably the best of a bad bunch, because it has to be. The captain has to be a forward or the scrum half, and I don't see either Ben Youngs or Danny Kaye.
I entirely agree.
Stepping up, so.
Well, even Martin Johnson in the Telegraph, Martin Johnson, of a word, said no, absolutely not. And he said that with his disciplinary record in the past, 26 weeks for eye gouging, I think it was 8 weeks for biting, and 54 weeks in total, that's over a year. How can someone representing the nation, for all the young lads and girls who are coming up and like looking at their idol almost, leading the national side, as someone who's done things like that. Do you think that might affect the younger players?
Yeah, I certainly think it will affect the younger players, but I hope that now that he's been given this role of responsibility, that sort of attitude will have to cease, because if the captain goes off, not only will his image drop further, but the image of this new reformed English team, and it is a relatively new side.
Yeah.
They do it every year. They stick out a new side, and there's a lot of, I mean, England, comparing to all other of the teams, has the most number of uncapped players in their squad, which is fair enough. He wanted to get away from the squad that didn't do so well in the World Cup. I want to say, look, this is a new side, it's a new coach, it's a new start, it's a new England. Is Dylan Hartley the best person to lead that side? I'm inclined to say no, but I'd like him to surprise me. I'd like to be surprised on February the 6th.
He seems like the sort of player to me that, with, well, 54 weeks worth of ban, that when he sees red, he can't stop himself, and he punches or he gadgets or whatever it is he's done.
But I mean, who else would you put there? I mean, you've got James
Launchbury.
Haskell, I suppose you've got Launchbury as well, but I think it needs to be a back row, either back row or number 8. Or either of the flankers,
someone that can command from the back.
Yeah, it needs to be from the back of the scrum. They can't, and in the mall, they need to be at the back nearly.
As a front row, I can tell you, you hear nothing but scuffling when you're in that front row. And how can you command your backs, hold the ball at the back of the scrum, ready for a set piece? I think it's a catastrophe, and I worry. And I don't know if you guys do also. I worry that what happens if he gets carded in a game?
I think if he gets carded, he has to step down. I think that is something that the coach has to say. Look, if you get carded as captain, I will no longer pick you as captain. There's Launchbury. Even Haskell plays doesn't get carded as much. He's got 30 caps. Dylan Hartley's only got 5 more on 35. And actually, Haskell's scored more points for England over the last year and a half.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. Well, we'll definitely hear now what Dylan Hartley had to say when he was chosen as captain.
I can't get over how proud I am to be here. As a team, I think we've got a huge challenge ahead, but not looking past Scotland. We've got 2 weeks. We've got a good chance to get really excited about that. Last night, I got a call to come down for a meeting. I was a bit nervous. He asked me if I wanted to do the job, put his hand out, and I think I might have snapped his hand off and didn't let go.
So do you think he sounds quite positive there? He sounds quite proud and quite humbled to be chosen. Do you think that's... I think that might bode well.
Yeah, I mean, listening to that, I didn't actually listen to his press conference he gave once. I just saw that he'd been picked, and my initial response was sort of like, "Is that a good choice?" But actually, listening to him there, you can actually see that he does portray himself as the Martin Johnson type. He's happy to lead the side, and he knows that he's not even brushed off the fact that he may get bad press, and he knows he's just focusing on Scotland. And Scotland, dare I say it, do look good. I mean,
they look the most dangerous they have in years,
especially when you consider how they played against France. I mean, and they're using the same tactics they used against Australia, against England, which I think is the right choice.
Decision, yeah.
Yeah. Well, in that very same press conference, Eddie Jones did say that he believes Scotland are the favourites going into that game. So I think it could be a very tasty affair.
It will be. I think as long as both teams perform well, and I think that's what the Six Nations need. They need the first games get off to an absolute rocket. They also need the discipline to be okay from the word go, even before the kickoff. We don't want any of the happenings in the dugout or when they line up, like's happened in the past, where teams have refused to line up on one side and such as. We need this after the disaster that was the World Cup. We need this. English rugby needs this to go well.
Absolutely. Moving on to a new captaincy, Rory Best. The question shadowing him isn't suitability, but it's filling those huge, huge boots that Paul O'Connell's left. Age 33 as a captain, little bit old.
No. I think he's got the experience. He's got the experience that's the side actually needs.
As an Ulster talisman. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, and you say he's too old, but I mean, he's got 46 caps and he's scored 15 points in the last year alone. And if you look at how he played in the autumn internationals, he played very well in the World Cup. Let's compare, for example, the two new captains. Ireland's side needs someone with a calm head on their shoulders, because Ireland, when they get the ball, they like to get going straight away, and that's where the mistakes come in. They need someone to pull themselves back and sort of say, right, boys, calm down, pace themselves.
Have phases of play.
Exactly. Yeah. England need a captain who motivates and picks up the ball and just goes for it. The English side are all about, they need to drive forward. They need to drive forward and need to sort of show the public and show themselves that, look, we can do this.
Absolutely. Well, Eddie Jones actually said that he wants to bring back the forceful forward approach that England had when he was Australia coach against them, where they would pummel the opposition with, you know, first phase, second phase, third phase, and the backs might not even touch the ball until fourth, fifth phase, when the likes of Jason Robinson had the glory days.
Glory days,
they,
yeah.
You know, run over the posts and put the ball down. But it's interesting. But I think Ireland have chosen the better man for the long term, and I would suggest that Ireland will probably fare better from their choice. What do you think, Jack?
I think that's perfectly right, in my opinion. I can't see anyone else in the Ireland squad doing it at the moment. There's either, you know, not enough experience or just sort of not in the right position. I mean, you wouldn't want to put someone like Sexton under the pressure of captaincy, because, you know, he's injury prone anyway, and you wouldn't want him to go off second, third game with an injury and not be able to see out the tournament and have to change captains halfway through.
But I'm surprised actually that he didn't consider Jamie Heaslip. Number 8. I'm very surprised he didn't choose him actually. But I think that he has gone for the experienced captain.
I agree.
There's a good point. Sorry.
With
when we've said about Dylan Hartley being in the front and not being able to have that communication between backs and forwards there, so there might be some issues that arise there. Because if you look at Scotland with Laidlaw, he's the 9, so he's perfectly placed in between the two.
Do you think he can guide Ireland to a record-breaking third consecutive win?
I mean, that's what a lot of the press has picked up on. I don't think Ireland will be looking for that until they get to the last game, if they've won all the ones before. But looking at their side, I think their clash against Wales will be very important. I also think their clash against France will be very important, and England as well, obviously. But they are the type of team that if they have a good start, they will continue on and will not have a bad game.
Yeah. I agree.
So it all comes down to their first game.
So we'll just have a listen to what Rory Best had to say.
Rory, firstly, congratulations, and can you just maybe explain how you're feeling after that news?
Look, absolutely delighted. It's something that it's obviously been big news for everyone over the last sort of couple of months since Paulie and the World Cup and Paulie retired. But look, for me, it's nice that he's. I've had the phone call and Joe's asked me, captain. Look, it's a massive honour.
Now, we'll move on from international and Six Nations to European club rugby. And Saracens have got their fifth consecutive quarter-finals in the Champions Cup by beating Toulouse 22-17. Do you see them as pushing contenders for winning the cup, or do you see the likes of Saints, Wasps and Toulon?
I think Wasps always have a chance. They always will pick up they'll pick up their game when they realise that the Saracens have been playing as well as they have been. There's no way you cannot see the fact that the Saracens, if you look at the last couple of games they've played, have played exceedingly
topping the Premiership.
So are they the ones to beat? There's always the worry that they will have one bad game and they'll go straight back to square one, whereas you've got Wasps that have been middling. I don't think you can rule out the other teams, but
you could argue as well that a bit like in the football, Wasps, obviously, they're a middling table. I think they're about fifth, sixth at the moment. I'm not sure. Obviously, Saracens are sat at the top with winning 8 out of their 9 games and sat at the top of their table. But Wasps as well are sat at the top of their table. Wasps, you could argue, don't have much to go for in the league, but have all to play for in the European Cup and can, you know, afford to put out their top squads and focus as much time on, you know, getting as far in that competition as possible.
Yeah, I entirely agree. But Tigers have got a struggle, actually, because they play Stade Francais Paris in the next round of the Champions Cup. But on the 24th of January, they lost 36-21. Do you think they can bounce back from that? Or do you think that in the back of their mind throughout that whole game, they'll be thinking about that pretty embarrassing defeat on the 24th?
I mean, as a as professional rugby players, you'd expect them to bounce back from it. But when they play their next game, they will obviously be worrying. Look, we had that disastrous defeat. It will, I think, still be in the back of their minds. They will, I think, play a slightly different game. They'll certainly look to capitalise the first 20 minutes and then maybe sit back and defend, because I think I watched the second half of it and I thought that they got tired towards the end of the second half, and that's where the errors came in. I think pushed too much in the first half, didn't get that bigger score.
It became sloppy, didn't it?
It became sloppy.
Yeah, really sloppy. So Jack,
they'll want to win, definitely. They want to turn their fortunes around, and they have a point to prove. Are they sitting about third in the table? I'm not quite sure,
they're pretty high up. I think it might be third or fourth.
Third, yeah. But no, I think they can do all right. But obviously, Tuilagi got injured just in the last game they played.
Yeah.
So that's a big blow for them. But no, I think they'll be able to do all right as long as they keep their heads and they cut all the sort of messy play. Even if you take it down to a more basic style of play, we're just playing the phases and putting it through the hand.
Definitely,
that'll be all right.
Well, in the next podcast, we'll definitely be looking over the results of those quarterfinals and seeing whether Saracens and Tigers are still battling it out in the European Champion Cup. Now, quickly on to the domestic with the Aviva Premiership. Saracens are in first place after 9 games with 37 points. Then you've got Exeter and Quins, 34 and 31 points respectively. Do you think Saracens, as well as having a pretty, well, it looks good for the European Cup, but do you think they can go all the way and win the Aviva Premiership this year?
I think they can. They don't really look like they're going to start losing anytime soon. Although, it's almost like I feel they...
I don't know, Exeter in for a shout. Exeter are currently sitting second. I think they've played well. They're obviously not... I don't think it's quite as well as the Saracens. But you never know. Saracens just need to have one bad game and Exeter can quite easily catch up.
Well, I could see them getting a bit cocky. You know, you look at the way... Yeah, Farrell dropped the ball over the line just the other week. And it was, well, quite frankly, shameful for an England 10. But, you know, I could see them slipping up even against a smaller team.
Well, I mean, they have brought some transfers in the summer. They've got Samuel Venisa, Michael Rhodes and Joel Carton Joel Carton was from Exeter. Do you think that these transfers can give them those extra legs just to kind of reach the finish line and the goal, which is the Aviva Premiership?
I mean, there's always a worry with the transfers that you bring in, that they're coming into a side that've been playing together for quite some time, so they've got to spend time on the training ground, sort of learning how to play with a new side. But there is nothing wrong, I think, with bringing in dynamic players that will add something to the side, especially in the backs. I always think sides need to think we've had this same lineup for a couple of years now. Maybe it's time to change and bring a sort of new idea to the game.
New style of play.
Yesterday, being Saturday 30th, Sharks were playing Irish at the AJ Bell, and Sale, with only one defeat in the last six, and Cipriani's kicking on form, they did beat Irish 38-10, which is quite a thumping.
Irish haven't been playing that well this season at all, though.
Neither Sale haven't been fantastic.
But Sale have been sort of like they've been middle ground. They haven't been playing as well as the Saracens. Although actually, if you think about it, the Saracens played Bath on Saturday as well, and they only won 19-13.
Yeah, no, this is a fair point.
And honestly, Gloucester played Leicester, and Leicester only won by a point. So I mean, you can see that as you get closer towards the end, I think teams start to worry more about the points.
I think Sharks might have another gear to crank into, I think, because the likes of Cipriani, they're really experienced players, and he hasn't got in the England squad, but
he turned down a move to Toulouse or Toulon,
did he?
Because he wanted to get his England squad, and obviously they have the no over seas rule.
Definitely.
Yeah, no, I think that Cipriani, while I believe he probably should be in the England squad, but actually the way he's been playing for Sale has actually sort of consolidated how they were last season. I think they've grown into having him around,
absolutely,
and having him as a permanent fixture in that side. So, and I think the score sort of dictated how well he played, 38-10.
Absolutely. So that's pretty much it for this week's podcast of Square Up, Scrum Down. But we'll be back next week discussing more Six Nations action and international and domestic.
So